Bless this time together. Bless Brady as he brings word. Holy Spirit, move powerfully in this place. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, I'm going to grab my watch because I got to get you out of here. And this is my watch, so. I want to just share with you tonight something that has been an encouragement to me over the last several months. And some of this you've been probably studying, even as some of you've gone through experiencing God. And that is, I want to talk to you tonight about discerning the will of God. How do you discern the will of God? We're going to look at several different passages of Scripture tonight. And the reason this is so important, in my opinion, is because every Christian, I believe we have the desire to be in God's will. I mean, we talk about it. We know God has a plan. He has a will for us. He has a place he wants us to go, decisions. We have decisions we're making all the time. And I'm one of these people that really believes God has a plan for each and every single one of our lives. And he has things he wants us to do, decisions we need to make. And I believe it's all the way from like little small decisions, you know, to really big decisions. And so we need to understand, you know, how can we know and discern God's will in our life in various places at different times and seasons. And this is something that I have studied, and I've had mentors and friends, you know, talk to me about over the years, and it just makes a lot of sense to me, and it's helped me in my life in knowing what God wants me to do. In fact, it's how I knew God was calling me here to be your pastor. And you know, there's other decisions like even in my life that I've been having to make in the last month, and you know, all, I mean, they're happening all the time, and so sometimes those things can paralyze us if we're not careful. And I have counseled with many people who struggle with discerning God's will for their life. And they'll say, I just want to be in the middle of God's will, but they struggle to know really what that is. And they never seem to really understand what God is wanting them to do, what he's leading and calling them to do. And it can, in fact, sometimes they're paralyzed to the point where they just never make any decisions, right? They just don't make decisions. And so they just kind of stay stuck in the same place they've been, and they might stay stuck for years and years and years. I've seen people that I was fairly confident, man, God was calling them to something, calling them to a ministry, calling them to the gospel, calling them to preach, and yet they would say, hey, I just want to be in the middle of God's will. And they could never quite understand, is this his will for me or not? And those things are happening in our lives when it's making decisions, you know, about our kids and, you know, their future, or, you know, a car that you're going to buy, or all those kinds of things. I'm one of these people that, like, I look at a lot of these things and say, God has a plan. He has something he wants me to do, you know. And I'm sure that you do too. It reminds me of a story you've probably heard. It's just kind of one of these little funny stories, but you've probably heard about the time that guy was, a flood was coming, and he got on top of his roof because the flood was coming. And he said, God, you know, do something for me, help me, give me a sign, give me a direction. What am I supposed to do here? And the first thing was the government said, hey, you better get out now. And he didn't. And then he got on his roof, and then he said, God, just, I don't know what you want me to do, but just, you know, give, you know, help me know, give me a sign, do something, help me understand what I need to do. And so a boat came by and said, hey, why don't you get on this boat? And he said, oh no, I'm waiting. I want to know what God wants me to do here. And so he refused to get on the boat, and then the water, you know, got to the roof, and now a helicopter came and said, hey, you know, we're going to drop a ladder down. You can climb up. Said, oh no, I'm waiting for God to give me a sign or to show me something so that I know what's going to happen, right? And it's like, hey, he was sending all these people. He was giving you all these signs. He was giving you all this direction. He was speaking to you, and you knew what you should have done. Well, God has revealed his will to us. He has revealed to us through his word, the truth of his word, and without a question, the Bible tells us everything we need to know to live our life for Christ and to honor God. Without a question. If we will walk with God, if we'll know his word and study his word, the Bible will helps us and leads us in how we're to live for Christ and honor God. And the Bible is full of the, it is the truth of God, and is full of principles that God has given us that helps guide us in our decision makings and understanding what God wants to do in our lives. And so God makes it clear to us that he has a will for our life, and in all matters through his word and with the work of the Spirit of God at work in us, I believe we can know and discern the will of God. And so I want you to see, and you can see this in your notes, but I want you to see, we're going to start in Psalm 37. The book of Psalms, Psalm 37. And I want you to see that when it comes to discerning the will of God, there's really three pieces of this that I believe if you can get these three things nailed down, it's going to give you clarity. And it's desire, purpose, and peace. Or, excuse me, desire, opportunity, and peace. Desire, opportunity, and peace. So, here's a question when you're thinking about all these things. What desire do you have in your heart? What is the desire of your life? What desires do you have? And you know this because this is a very important verse of Scripture, but in Psalm 37:4, the Word of God says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire. Or delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? And so it's saying, listen, God, it's good to have desire. It's good to have a desire in your heart. It's good to want something, to desire something. And it even says here in this psalm that if you will take delight in the Lord, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord God, he will give you the desires of your heart. God wants to give you. He wants to lead you. He wants to fulfill his purpose in your life. He wants to lead you in his will. And so delight yourself in the Lord. Well, there's two types of desires that we can have. There's two types. So we can have godly desires, or we can have ungodly desires. Now, when we think about that, we know that Psalm 37 is talking about God's going to give you the desires of your heart. He's not going to give you the desires if they're ungodly, if they're sinful, if they're outside of his will. He's not going to give you those things. Now, if you have an ungodly desire and you don't, and you're just relentless about it, God might say, okay, I'm not going to give it to you, but I'll let you go get it. And he'll let you have those things. And when he lets you have those things, it's not going to turn out well for you, right? It's not going to turn out well. But those godly desires, he says, hey, you have these godly desires. His desire is to fulfill those in your life. Now, ungodly desires, we can see in James Chapter 1, we think about what it says here in James chapter 1. It says in verse 14 and 15, it says, "But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death." And so we can see that there is ungodly desires. There are sinful desires. There are desires that are not from God. God will not tempt you. God will not put a desire in your heart or give you a desire that is unrighteous, ungodly, that is gonna turn out bad for you, okay? So it says here that there are ungodly desires, but they don't come from God. Well, where do those ungodly desires come from? Well, we know that the devil is the tempter. He's the tempter. So when you go all the way back to Genesis, what we can understand is this, that the devil is always enticing us and tempting us and trying to get us in our flesh nature to want and to have ungodly, unrighteous things, to have ungodly desires. And if we allow those things to linger and we allow ourselves to really be open to those desires, those things, those temptations that the devil is putting out in front of us, then what happens is in our earthly human nature, we start desiring those things as we're tempted. Remember, the devil is the tempter. And so as he tempts us, if we begin to mess with those things and give those things room in our life and start thinking about those things, then in our flesh nature, we can be drawn to those evil things, but those things lead to sin, and they're ungodly things. So we know there's ungodly desires, but what we're talking tonight about is not chasing after ungodly things, but the desires that are godly that come from us in our walk with God. The desires that He springs up in our heart and in our life. And those are very good things for us. Delight yourself in God. If you will take pleasure in Him, if He's the one that you're desiring to please, if He's the one that you're walking with and that you love and you're having fellowship and communion with, then you're going to have desires. And here's what's going to happen. Your desires are going to be His desires. Did you know that? Your desires will be His desires. As you walk with Him, as you have fellowship with Him, as you study your word, the word of God, and as you pray, you're going to have good godly desires that are going to be His desires for your life. And He's going to put those things in your heart. I love what Matthew 6:33 says. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Right? Delight yourself in the Lord. Seek first the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His righteousness. Seek those godly things. Seek righteousness. And He says, and here's what's going to happen. All these things will be added unto you. That's not ungodly things that are going to be added unto you, but those good things. It's those things that God wants for your life to bless you with. Those things that God wants in your life that He's going to use in your life to bless others and to make an impact for the kingdom of God. So, number one is discerning God's will for your life. What desire do you have? What desires do you have in your heart and in your life that God has given you? Number two, opportunity. Opportunity. Has God opened a door of opportunity for you? He's given you a desire. Has He opened up a door of opportunity for you? Revelation 3. Here's what it says, verses 7 and 8. Write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have placed before you an open door that no one can close, because you have but little power, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Here's what that's telling us, or one of the things that that's telling us. Jesus opens doors. He opens doors of opportunity. He's the one that can open any door that he wants to open, and he can close any door he wants to close. He can open a door and no one can close it, and he can close a door and no one can open it. And that's true in your life. He opens up doors of opportunity for us that he's calling us to step out in faith and walk through. Okay? And so what he does is we can have a desire in our life, a desire in our heart that he's leading us in. And this can be in any area of life. It could be in your business. All kinds of decisions that you're having to make throughout your life. It can be big decisions, it can be smaller decisions, but God is doing a work, and he gives us a desire, and he can open up a door of opportunity for us. He's the one that does it. It says in the Word of God, says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, at the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. If God has something he's going to do in your life, in his will for your life, he will open up a door for it. He will open up a door for it. Paul here, he has a desire. God has given me the gospel, and I desire to preach it. I desire it to take this place. But the door is not open. He says, so church, here's what I want you to do. Pray that God will open a door. And so we want to walk in his will. We talk about that. Well, we walk in his will by walking through the doors that he opens. And so you may have a desire now, but the door's not open. That doesn't mean the door won't be open. Right? It just means God's got a time. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a will. And sometimes we have to be patient in those things. And so, you know, part of the desire and the open door of opportunity is that's part of our prayer life. It's part of our prayer life. We pray. We pray as a church for an open door. God, open this door. Right? Listen, and here's the thing. When we go through the door that God opens, it can just be phenomenal. Have you ever went around God, there wasn't an open door, and so you tried to open your own door and tried to do something, and was it really difficult? I've been in that situation before. When we started working with the football team, back from my previous church, we said we had this desire of doing something there, but we couldn't just show up and do it. There had to be an open door. So we began praying, God, open up this door. God, open up this door. God, open up this door. And he opened it up, and we were able to walk through it. And so that's what Paul is doing here. That's what he's talking about. And so we see, in discerning God's will for our life and our ministries, our mission, our purpose, decisions that we have to make, what's our desire? Is there an opportunity? Okay, and if you have those two things going, man, you got a lot of good things going right there. When you have desire and opportunity, wow, that's awesome. That's phenomenal. But If you have that godly desire and you have an open door, there's a final piece in discerning the will of God. And the final piece is peace, the peace of God. God gives confirmation to us as His children through His peace. God's a God of peace. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, and He will confirm to us by giving us a peace that surpasses all comprehension. God gives us a peace, and His peace is that final part of all of this that helps us to know, okay, this is what God wants me to do. I'll tell you a little bit about me. When I was probably 20, I had been a youth pastor for about a year. And I had a 1998 GMC Jimmy. Does anybody know what that is? All right. Anybody driving one of those tonight? No, just I had a 1998 GMC Jimmy. And, I didn't love the car, but, I mean, it was a good car. But I could fit some people in it. And I would, as soon as I started the youth ministry work, I found some middle schoolers. And I went and picked them up every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. I went and picked, and I had five of them usually, that I was piling in this Jimmy and taking with me to church. And they'd stay till I locked up, and I'd take them home. And man, that was going on. And I mean, it was every time the doors were open, I was picking them up. But I was 20. And I wanted something better than a GMC Jimmy. And so I decided I wanted a 2007 Nissan 350Z sports car. That's what I wanted. I had the color picked out and everything. I had a desire, right? I had a desire. And look, a nice car, that's a fine desire to have. It's not bad. Like, you know, it's okay to have a desire. And so I had that desire. I had the opportunity because I went on, you know, cars.com and could find them, right? So, and so, man, I had been researching and I had found some, probably some down here in Atlanta that I was looking at and found some. And I was pretty determined I was going to get that. And then I spoke to my dad about it. And I told him what I was about to do. And he said one thing, this is all he said to me. And now this is another part of this piece too. God will speak to us through people, through His Word. I mean, there's lots of ways that God will speak to us. He said one thing to me. He said, "That's a nice car. If you get it, who's going to pick up those youth kids?" That's it. That's it. That was it. Like, walk away, you know. Thanks, Dad. That's just what I wanted to hear, man. And so here's what happened. I never had a peace about, from that point on, I still wanted it. But I didn't have a peace about it. What God put a check in my spirit, and He helped me to know, and I started understanding. No, you know, that would be great to have, but God wants something different for me. He wants me to keep picking up these kids, and He wants me to have this vehicle. And although my other friends and all these other people have sports cars, and I would love to drive it, and you know, I can impress Chelsea with it and all that kind of stuff. He's like, no, I want you to just keep on with that GMC Jimmy. And so God did not give me a peace. He put a check in my spirit, and He will do that in our life. As we're at church and as we're in our Sunday school class, as we're talking to a friend, as we're praying, and you will experience in your life that you may have the desire and the opportunity, but you need that final part, and it's that peace. And when you have that peace, you'll have it. It's a wonderful peace. It's the peace of God in our heart, and you can do exactly what He is leading you to. And so that could be in so many things in your life. It could be something like I just described, purchasing something, right? You know, should I get that camper? Is that what you want for me, God? Should I get that boat? Is that what you want for me, God? Should I get that new car? Should I get that house? Should I change jobs? God, do you want me to change jobs? You know, the other one, you might make more money in it, but God might not give you a peace about it because here's what he's doing, protecting you from something. God loves you. He's got a plan for you, okay? He's got a purpose for you, and so he'll give you that peace. Remember this, God loves you. He wants what's best for you. He does. He knows what's best for you. He knows better than you know, right? He knows what's best for you, and you can trust him in that. He'll give you peace, or he'll check your spirit. I'm going to close with a couple passages that sort of speak to this. But in Acts chapter 16, you'll see Paul and Timothy here on their missionary journey. And in verse 6, it says, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Right? What's that mean? Well, here's what that means. The same Holy Spirit that was at work in their lives is the same God, the Holy Spirit, who's indwelling our lives and at work in us. And he speaks to us through our spirit, in our heart. He will confirm things. He will give us. So he would not allow them. There was a check in their spirit. They knew God was saying, don't go here. You don't always know why. But God just, he helps you to say, this is what you're to do. This is what you're not to do. It says, when they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So sometimes God will not give you a peace to go into a certain place or to do a certain thing. Sometimes he gives you a peace and says, that's where I want you to go. We see in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And look at this, and the peace of God. Do you know that today? The peace of God is real. The peace of God is available in your life. The peace of God is one of the key ways that God speaks to you and confirms things in your life. More than just peace when you're going through a difficulty, but he does. He gives us peace in difficulty, a peace that surpasses all comprehension. But he can also give us peace in confirming what he is calling us to and leading us in our lives. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God. It's not the peace of man or anything else. And sometimes what God is leading us to do or not to do doesn't make sense to everyone else. But he will give us a peace. So how do we discern God's will in our life in all different areas? Well, I believe this is a good way for us to live out and to make decisions and to know that we're walking in the will of God, which we all desire to do, and to not just find ourselves paralyzed all the time, not ever doing anything because I just don't want to step out of God's will. And you just never do anything, right? Desire, the godly desire that he gives you. Has he opened up a door of opportunity? He can open up doors, and he will. When those two things match up, and then you seek God's face, You seek him in his word. You seek him through prayer. You talk about this with mentors and godly people in and around your life. Husbands and wives, God will give both of you that peace. And sometimes it will take the other one longer to realize that God's giving them peace. That's the story of one of my family members who went to the mission field. He was ready to go. He knew God was calling them to the IMB. And it took my sister several years to understand and know that that's what, and eventually she too had that same peace from God. And when they had it, then they went. And so we walk with God. He gives us desire. He gives us opportunity. And when he gives us his peace in our heart, we can go. And we know he'll bless it. He'll be with us. He'll provide. He'll do a work. And so I wanted to encourage you tonight, as you discern what God's doing in your life, in this season of life, and what God is doing, that you can know that he will give you desire, opportunity, and he will give you peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you're so good to us tonight. And God, we know your word has given us direction in how you have called us to live and to honor you with our lives. And I believe, God, that it's our desire, all of us in this room, to honor you with our lives. Lord, you have a purpose and you have a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, you're doing a work in our lives. And God, it's our desire to be obedient to you and to walk in the will that you have for us and the direction you have for us. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, God, to have those godly desires that you put in our heart. Lord, help us to be open to see the doors that you open before us. And then, Lord, when you give us a peace about those opportunities, God, give us the faith, empower us to walk through them, knowing, God, that we are living our life in your will and that we're honoring you by being faithful and obedient to you. God, we pray right now that the rest of this week that we would represent you well in all the places that we go. And God, we ask that this coming Sunday, when we gather back in this place, we would come excited because we believe and we know, Jesus, you're going to be here, that you're going to be exalted. Bring us back ready to worship you. And Lord, you be honored and glorified in what we do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. We're dismissed.